I'm Randall Mintz with Anchor 7 Livestock in Vernon, Texas. You're listening to the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
The number of cattle in Texas High Plains feed yards and in the surrounding region remains high. I'm James Hunt, and we'll talk about that on Texas Ag Today.
Lawmakers from Texas continue to work to get Mexico to comply with its end of the 1944 water treaty. I'm Jessica Dolmel, and we'll have an update from Washington, D.C. coming up on Texas Ag Today.
Texas rice farmers are planting their crop for this season. I'm Tom Nicoletti, and I'll have a report on the outlook for rice farmers on Texas Ag Today.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Kerry Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now. One of the oldest and most legendary ranches in Texas is suing the companies that may have contributed to the start of two of the worst wildfires in Texas history. The Turkey Track Ranch is suing Xcel Energy, Southwestern Public Service Company, and Osmos Utility Services. The lawsuit claims a utility pole located near Stennett, owned and operated by the defendants, collapsed and ignited the Smokehouse Creek Fire. The Texas A&M Forest Service says its investigators determined power lines ignited both the Smokehouse Creek and Windy Deuce fires. The Turkey Track Ranch is nearly 80,000 acres and was the site of the historic Adobe Walls Trading Post. It was the site of two famous battles in 1864 and 1874. It's estimated that 80% of the Turkey Track was burned. In neighboring Roberts County, they faced a similar result. County Judge Mitchell Locke says it burned practically all of the county.
We're saying somewhere between 85 and 90%, which would equal up to approximately 800 square miles. And for those that don't think in those terms, that's about 512,000 acres.
Mitchell says green grass is growing in many of the burnt areas, with the exception of the sandy dunes, where sand is still blowing, and it looks like the surface of the moon. Texas landowners have more time to apply for funding and technical assistance to improve water quality through the Texas NRCS National Water Quality Initiative.
NWQI is offered through the Environmental Quality Incentives Program. The purpose of NWQI is to work with farmers, ranchers, and landowners to take action to reduce runoff of sediment, nutrients, and pathogens into surface waters where water quality is a critical concern. The program is offered in four priority watershed areas, the Aransas River, Big Elm Creek, Lake Levan, and Lampasas River. To be considered for funding in fiscal year 2024, applications must be submitted to NRCS by May 17th. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Dolmel.
The GBRC Ranch in North Texas was named the national winner of the 2023 Environmental Stewardship Award Program for its stewardship practices and conservation achievements. The GBRC is now the fifth Texas ranch to win that national award. The ranch consists of 3,000 acres in Rosten, Texas, just outside the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. The award was established in 1991 by the National Cattlemen's Beef Association to recognize outstanding stewardship practices and conservation achievements. The number of cattle in Texas feedlots remains high. James Hunt reports from Amarillo.
In the USDA Cattle on Feed report issued Friday, the number of cattle in feed yards nationwide was up by 1% from a year ago. Well, the rate of increase is even higher when you look at feed yards within the three-state area of Texas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico. That's the area served by TCFA, the Texas Cattle Feeders Association. Brady Miller of TCFA says cattle on feed in the TCFA area are up by 3% year over year, which probably probably won't be friendly to fed cattle prices.
The market has been and will continue to look for reduction in inventory. And as we continue to put out these monthly cattle on feed reports, so far the market's not seeing that reduction in inventory yet.
But one sign that inventories might come down is that placements were down by 18% in March year over year in the TCFA area. Meanwhile, Miller says lately cattle in TCFA area feed yards have been staying on feed about 190 to 200 days, much longer than a more typical average of 150 to 180 days.
As supplies get tight, sometimes you hold them because you don't have other animals coming in behind them. And sometimes the packer, they buy them heavier. They want them heavier.
And why do packers want them heavier?
Typically, when you put more weight on an animal, that means they have more finish and they have more marbling. And marble in the grocery store is what you look for. So I can't say that's a one-for-one, 100% of all the time the truth, but typically the heavier you get these animals, a little bit more marbling you'll get out of these animals, so these animals will grade better. And today, the consumer, that's what they want. They want a good marbled steak.
I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Lawmakers from Texas are working to resolve the Rio Grande Valley's water dispute with Mexico. Jessica Domel has the story from Washington, D.C.
U.S. lawmakers from Texas are working to try to ensure that farmers in the Rio Grande Valley have access to the water they need to grow their crops. According to the 1944 Water Treaty, Mexico is required to deliver 1.75 million acre-feet of water to the U.S. over a five-year period. The water comes from the Rio Grande and flows into Chihuahua State in Mexico, where it is held back from reaching the border by several dams. Through the treaty, Mexico keeps two-thirds of the downstream flows, while it is required to deliver the other third to the United States. The water is vital to American farmers, ranchers, and communities in the Rio Grande Valley. The problem is, Mexico is once again behind on releasing the water it owes to the U.S. Congresswoman Monica de la Cruz gave Texas farmers and ranchers an update on the situation last week.
In the Rio Grande Valley, we have been devastated by Mexico not giving us the water that we are due. Mexico owes us 700,000 acre-feet of water. Just last month, we actually lost our sugar mill, and that was a loss of 500 jobs. That was a profound economic impact to our area. What I'm hearing from our citrus farmers is that they're going to be absolutely devastated and may not survive the next 3 months. Think about that, 3 months. I have never been in politics prior to this Congress in 118. What a time to start. And to my shock, there has never been a House resolution put on the floor. And so we put for the first time on the House floor a House resolution asking Mexico to abide by its water treaty. We did that with the support of both the chairman, Ronnie Jackson, all of the Texas delegation. That was huge. We've worked with the IBWC, talked to them almost on a biweekly basis. In addition to that, we've written multiple letters to the Secretary of State. I've met with the U.S. ambassador to Mexico, the Mexican ambassador to the United States. In fact, we went to dinner with him. Some of my colleagues went to dinner with him, and he wanted to talk about how we needed to buy more product from Mexico. And I said, with all due respect, Ambassador, that's ridiculous. You guys owe us water, and you're here, you have the gall to sit in front of us and ask us to buy more product when you owe us water. And they got very nervous and tried to change the subject several times. His assistant said, well, Congresswoman, that's not what we're here for. I'm like, well, that's what I'm here for. I'm here for water, and we need our water.
U.S. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas also discussed the water situation with Texas Farm Bureau members visiting Washington, D.C.
We have not gotten this accomplished yet, but I can tell you I'm going to continue pressing and pressing and pressing, and it's real simple. Mexico needs to give us our damn water.
Lawmakers, farm groups, farmers, ranchers, and communities continue to speak out on the need for water. From Washington, D.C., for the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
The Texas rice crop is being planted. Tom Nicoletti checks in on rice planting from Southeast Texas.
For today's program, I have Alan Galding on the line from Southeast Texas in Jefferson County around the Beaumont area in Hampshire, and he is a rice farmer who is in the middle of planting his rice crop. And how far along are you, Alan?
We're about 60% planted.
So what are the prospects for this year's crop? You got another 40% to put in the ground.
We'll come for some more good weather and maybe a couple of rains to bring it up without having to pump extra water.
From the standpoint of marketing your rice crop this year and the prices, of course, you got to deal with the weather and other issues. What is your outlook for the 2024 rice crop there in your area?
Well, there's a lot of uncertainty this year. We do have an expectation that the price will be reasonable. I don't know that it's going to be high, but at least a reasonable price. We've had some issues with our local elevators closing down, so there's going to be a pinch on trying to get our rice to the dryers to get them dried down. So there is a little bit of concern there how long the lines are and how stacked they're going to be since we're going to be shorthanded on facilities to take rice to.
Rice is grown in water. What about the availability of water besides just rainfall?
Right now, on the east side of Houston, we have plenty of water. Our reservoirs are at adequate depth, so we foresee no issues on being able to pump water. We're not on a canal where you actually pump out of the bay, so we're in good shape. But those that are on the canal, they should have adequate water for the year. On the west side of Houston, they're actually not going to be planting a lot of acres because there's a big restriction on the water that they can use. So a lot of acres aren't going to be planting them rice on the west side of Houston.
About when would you start harvesting this first crop of rice?
We will start probably late July, maybe around July 25th to August 1st.
That is Alan Galding. He is a rice farmer in Southeast Texas. I'm Tom Nicoletti at the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
This is James Duncan in East Texas. The moisture's been a little heavy. Hay meadows are soggy.
We'll have that story from James. Plus, it's time for spring vaccinations for your horses. Dr. Bob Judd has more on that coming up.
These stories plus a look at the markets are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
If you're a Texas farmer or rancher with an unreimbursed loss from the recent wildfires, you can apply for assistance from the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Unreimbursed losses include but are not limited to livestock, feed, fences, and equipment. Additional expenses such as temporary pastures will also be considered. Completed applications must be submitted by May 31st to your local county Farm Bureau office or directly to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. For more details, go to texasfarmbureau.org.
We're heard on over 140 great Texas radio stations. This is Texas Ag Today on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
East Texas has been getting wet recently. James Duncan has this update from Marshall.
In the East Texas area, with all the moisture that we have had since I last reported to you, it's kind of done some damage to our produce. Our farmers' markets are being delayed a week or two as far as our local produce is concerned. Now, some of the farmers' markets that allow outside entities to bring in food and stuff, they're doing well and running well, and they're very popular. But right now, we had a meeting just recently that said ours was going to be delayed for a couple of weeks because things just aren't producing outright. And some of the moisture with the wet grounds, we've lost a little bit of our crops. So we've had to replant, so they're going to be a little late, but they'll still be here. The hay meadows are too soggy to work in. The moisture too high to get any good drying conditions. Not enough sunshine for that. So we're just a week or so behind that first cutting for this time of the year. We normally get some of that really wet grass down, but now we can't do it, and we'll be delayed there. Otherwise, as far as agriculture is concerned, folks still going to the market. On the weekday that your local auction is held, ours is Thursday, and we enjoy going and visiting with farmers and ranchers at that time. And that's about all we're doing right now. Hey, the water's even too high to fish, so that we ain't got much else to do but go to sail and talk and visit a little bit, and that's about what it is. This is James Duncan reporting from East Texas for Texas Ag Today.
It's time for spring vaccinations for horses. Dr. Bob Judd has more.
With the spring weather, you likely will be getting your horse out to ride more often and may even be going to equine events, which potentially will expose your horse to other diseases. The American Association of Equine Practitioners indicates that there are five core vaccines that all horses need regardless of environment, and these are rabies, West Nile virus, tetanus, and Eastern and Western encephalomyelitis. The reason is West Nile and the encephalomyelitis diseases are transmitted by mosquitoes. Rabies is transmitted by wild animal bites, and tetanus is transmitted by the horse stepping on a contaminated sharp object, like a nail or getting a cut in the pasture. So none of these diseases require exposure to other horses, and vaccines to protect against these diseases should be given at least once yearly, depending on the disease and the mosquito population in your area. The respiratory diseases are different, as exposure to other horses is required to transmit these diseases, or at least exposure to inanimate objects or people that have been around sick horses. In other words, if your horse goes on trail rides where other horses have been present, or even if you take your horse to the veterinarian and other horses are at their clinic, these vaccines should be considered. These diseases are strangles, influenza, equine herpes virus 4, and equine herpes virus 1, commonly called rhino. These vaccines do not have as long of an immunity as the core vaccines, and most of these are given at least twice a year. Dr. Tony Hawkins indicates at Drovers.com that Potomac horse fever vaccine should also be considered, although Potomac horse fever is not a common problem in most areas of Texas. If you have not had spring vaccinations on your horses, call your veterinarian.
I'm veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd. This is the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
If you're a Texas farmer or rancher with an unreimbursed loss from the recent wildfires, you can apply for assistance from the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Unreimbursed losses include, but are not limited to, livestock, feeds, fences, and equipment. Unreimbursed additional expenses, such as temporary pastures, will also be considered. Completed applications for assistance must be submitted by May 31st to a local county farm bureau office or directly to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. For more details, go to texasfarmbureau.org.
Sometimes you love them, sometimes you cuss them. Here's a look at the markets on Texas Ag Today.
Let's take a look back at how the markets wrapped up on Monday. We saw sharply higher moves in cattle, cotton, and wheat. We'll kick things off with a look at cattle futures. Triple-digit gains across the board thanks to Friday's USDA Cattle on Feed report. It showed placements coming in much less than expected, and that lit a bit of a fire under the futures market on Monday. April live cattle up 235, 183.82. The June up 237, 178.05, with August up 285, 176.40. Feeder cattle sharply higher. April feeders up $1.57, 242.90. May up 317 at 245.17. August feeder cattle up 497, closing at 258.47. Cash fed cattle sales wrapping up last week, selling cattle here in the Southern Plains mostly at 182. That's steady money with the previous week. In the Northern Plains, we saw live sales 183 to 184, dressed sales at 292. Those prices a dollar lower. Boxed beef was higher, choice up 24 cents, 295.91, select up 60 at 291.43. Now let's check the auction barns. We're walking the pens with Larry Marble.
My guest is Madison Bexley, Lockhart Livestock. She and her family and partners sell cattle every Thursday there in Lockhart. Madison, how was this week's sale?
We had a good day. We ended up with 1166 with 204 cows and 32 bulls, 193 sellers, and 115 buyers.
Walk the pens with us.
The good pairs brought from 21 to 2800. The mediocre and middle-aged pairs from 1450 to 2050. The good bred cows from 16 to 2550. The mediocre middle-aged and shortbreds from 11 to 1575. The long corn and the planter cows from 710 to 1075. The good high yielding cows from $1.27 to $1.37. The medium yielding cows from $1.16 to $1.26. Low yielding and lightweight cows from $85 to $1.15. The good high yielding bulls from $1.40 to $1.52. The low, medium yielding and lightweight bulls from $1.25 to $1.39. And on the calves and yearlings, we got along real good. Most classes steady to a little higher than last week on a real active market. For the most part, the quality was really good this week, and it always makes our job a little easier. So all in all, it's a really good day.
Good deal. Are you aware of anything for next week, Madison?
We're supposed to have a couple hundred calves off one guy. So as long as the weather cooperates, we should get those. And if not, we'll be okay with some rain too. So.
All right. Well, tell everybody how to get a hold of you.
You can always check us out on Facebook, or you can call the barn at 512-398-3476. My cell phone at 979-540-9793. Or you can ring Bubba at 512-461-6091.
Madison, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Neighbor, once again, that was Madison Bexley. She and her family and partners own and operate Lockhart Livestock, and they sell every Thursday. You and I get together here on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network every Monday through Friday for this program called Walk in the Pens, and more than likely we'll do so tomorrow, God willing. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you then.
Thanks, Larry. Back over to the futures market now. We're lean hogs were higher. May hogs up 47 cents, 96.70. June up 67 at 105.50. Class 3 milk steady to higher. The nearby April contract unchanged at 15.57 a hundred, while May was up 49 cents, 18.29 a hundredweight. Sharply higher close in cotton. Looks like the market is attempting a turnaround after just 2-3 weeks of just solid bearish news pushing prices lower. Speculators have been getting out of their long positions, and farmers have been selling into a dropping market, and that put the market into a free fall. So we had a bit of a bounce on Monday. May cotton up 135 points, 80.04. July up 140, 82.42. With December cotton up 94 points, 78.49 cents. Corn was strongly higher, getting a boost from wheat. We'll talk about that in just a second. May corn up 6 1/4, 439 3/4. July corn up 6 3/4, 449 3/4. With September corn up 6 3/4, 458 a bushel. Wheat closed sharply higher, both hard and soft wheat, seeing double-digit gains mainly due to the weather. We've had this cold snap move through Texas. Well, it's even colder when you move up into Kansas. Northwestern Kansas getting snow on Friday evening. Parts of western Kansas below freezing on Sunday morning. So that definitely gives some ammunition to the wheat market. May Kansas City wheat up 16 cents, 597.5. July up 19.5, 602.5. Soft wheat in Chicago, May up 20 cents, 570.25. July up 20 3/4 at 587.5. In the energy markets, May natural gas was up 3 cents, $1.78. May West Texas crude oil down 12, $83.02 a barrel. The financial markets higher, the Dow up 254 points at 38,240. The NASDAQ up 169, 15,451. The S&P up 43 at 5,010. That wraps up our look at the markets, and that wraps up this episode of Texas Ag Today. I'm Kerry Martin. Hope to see you back here next time as we cover the most important industry in its greatest state in the U.S. of A, Texas agriculture.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.